Welcome back to The Art of Money with Art McPherson here on 1240 and 1350 AM WMMB, where the Space Coast talks. I'm Michelle Wright. The phone number 321-253-2016. And that is Brad Paisley Riverbank from his newest album, Moonshine in the Trunk, that just was released on August 26th. And you know what? We are super proud and very excited to welcome Brad Paisley to The Art of Money. You know, Brad has had 21 number one songs. He's a member of the Grand Ole Opry and currently one of the judges on ABC's Rising Star. Brad, welcome to the big show. Welcome to The Art of Money.
Hey, no problem. You guys are pretty well behaved so far.
Well, we'll see how that goes for the next few minutes.
Brad, you released your first album back in 1999. And we've gone through a lot of changes since then. The world's changed a lot. Has the way you write songs changed over the last 15 years?
In many ways, a lot. And in other ways, not much at all. In that it's changed in the way that I approach songs and the subject matter. I mean, in the beginning, it was all about writing within sort of the confines of what would typically be country music, and how do I write something unique? How do I do something that's a good version of something that's going to sound reminiscent and fit in on the chart and all these things? And then eventually I started to realize, well, nobody's writing about celebrity or the internet or technology or progress or strange ways to say that you think somebody is sexy using, you know, parasites or, you know, how do you write a song about alcohol that's unique? You basically sing it from the perspective of the substance itself. And so that's when my songwriting really evolved. But in some ways, I'm the same guy because I write with the same people. A lot of the names that you'll read on the back of this record were on my first few records as well. Kelly Loveless, Chris Dubois. You know, those guys have been around since college with me.
Cool. Well, since they've been around since college, I assume that means you guys know each other very well. Does that mean your songwriting process has become easier? Can you come up with stuff quicker?
We did this quicker than I've ever done a record. I usually take a year. It seems like I start writing and can't find certain things, and for whatever reason, touring and things get in the way. This one, we got on a roll, and we wrote songs that we never expected to write quicker than we expected to write them. And we ended up taking about 3.5 months to write the entire record and record it and mix it and everything. That's cutting down my time to 25% of what it used to take. And, you know, and in that sense, I think you can hear that. I think you can hear that it was effortless, even though we spent many a sleepless night writing lyrics and making it right. But it was an effortless process in the sense that we were inspired throughout.
I know that your music has a pretty broad appeal. You've written a lot of songs. You've written party songs like Alcohol. You've written love songs and awesome ballads like When I Get Where I'm Going. You connect with me. You seem to really connect with a lot of people who are listening.
Well, to me, you've got to be singing about something that matters to you. And if you are keeping it true and you're keeping these topics things that mean something to you, it's probably a good bet that it means something to the people that are also going to be in your audience. And I'm not very different from the people who come see me play in many ways. I mean, I have the same exact goals in life for the most part, and I have the same priorities. And so they stand out there, and I think you have that connection with them. And especially after all this time, I know that audience so well that I can see their faces when I make a record. And I really think that it's important that you make records with your fans in mind when you're at this stage of a career. In the beginning, you make records and you hope that you have someone that you can make records for eventually, but it's nice to know who those people are, and I think I do.
Sure, that's awesome. Speaking of goals and priorities, when many people, especially my clients, when they think of their goals, their dreams, the priorities that they have for their family, their friends, and their retirement, it's my mission, you know, to help those people be able to plan for that. I would imagine it's kind of similar for you planning a concert tour. You want to make sure that you have all the pieces in the right place. Am I correct?
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to figure out who does what well, because nobody does it all, and make sure that they are that you're surrounded by people that have your best interests, you know. And that's to me the key to any organization. I out on the road, especially because we travel down the highway, about 40 of us that are, you know, in cahoots out there. It's taken a while to sort of fine tune that. The people that aren't of your ilk don't last very long.
So, Brad, do you find yourself thinking and planning for the future, or are you like a spontaneous fly by the seat of your pants type of guy?
I found myself talking to my wife the other day, and she was talking about something. We were making plans about something, and she out of the blue said, I wonder where we'll wind up. I wonder what'll happen to us in the next decade, you know? And I said, that's the wrong attitude. I said, it's completely the wrong attitude, because you're just inviting, oh, helpless me, what will the universe do to me? You know, what is fate going to be? Well, I don't like to think that way. I like to think, what do I want?
I agree.
You know, what do I want to achieve? And how do I get there? And what would also be good if that didn't work? And, okay, if that didn't work this way, is there another way around? Is there a left turn I can make and a right turn I can make? And that tenacious sort of outlook has been probably what got me here, because I don't take no for an answer. On a lot of stuff, I have a hard time accepting when something is the final say, you know. Now and then you have to, but I just think that the right outlook for anyone is, here's where I want to get, and I'm going to figure out a way to do that, you know, as opposed to, let's put it in terms of a country music career. If you sit around and go, I wonder if I'm destined to be a country music star, that's really not helping anything. You know, if you sit around and say, what would be the best song that I could possibly write and put on the radio, you're going to hold all the cards if you actually follow through and find that. So do that. Do something. Don't just, you know, it's Yoda said it best. Do or do not, there is no try.
Yes. Oh, I love that you just made a Star Wars and a Yoda reference, because I am a super, super Star Wars geek. But okay, Brad, let's get back to talking about your new album, Moonshine in the Trunk. One of the songs is called Crushin' It. Now, you've been a huge success in country music for a long time. But when did you have that moment of, wow, I am crushing it. This is it, and I have arrived.
Well, there's several of those. I mean, you know, your first number one record and first time you win an award, first time you sell something out, even if it's 200 seats and there's none left. Those are the feelings where you think you're doing something right, you know. It's an interesting barometer, all the things that you look around and the times that you feel things are going great and the times that you don't. And sometimes your perspective is completely off. Sometimes you look back and you're like, boy, I wasn't really doing very well then. Or vice versa, you thought all along you weren't doing very well, and in truth you were fine. That feeling's powerful, though. When you feel like you've got it and you're in the zone, it's good.
I think that's perfect. I mean, you talk about the zone, and when I talk with my clients, you know, there's so many distractions, kind of like you mentioned about your wife. You know, there's so many things that can kind of give us off track. What do you do to just kind of keep in that zone, being positive? How do you stay in that zone?
That's why I wanted to make this record, which is essentially a glass half full record. What people want, I think, out of music right now is music that feels like it enhances their life. I tweeted the other day, dear 24-hour news, please, a little bit of restraint would be nice. But we all have the ability to tune out and set the phone down and don't read the headlines. And, you know, my wife is great about that. She's like, dinner time, there's a penalty. If you get your phone out at dinner, I lose it for an hour. And I have had to set the thing in a drawer for an hour before. It's a great rule. She's like, you are looking at the two most important people in the world to you, those two little boys, and you don't need your phone at dinner. And you can see why I write love songs about her.
We have the same rule at my house, too. So I agree with your wife 100%.
That's a great
rule.
You're known
for being a prank. You're known for being a prankster on tour. At least that's the rumors. We have fun here at my office, too. We do a lot of fun things. I'm a big FSU fan, but I have all kinds of clients that are Gator fans and Hurricane fans in the state of Florida with football. We do a lot of pranking with one another. When you and Carrie Underwood host the CMA Awards each year, do you come up with your own material, or do they write it for you? How do you guys do that?
We largely do. We have writers, and we also have people that contribute, but it is a group effort. But a lot of what you see really can be credited to the two of us in a strange way when I look back at it. I mean, the best bits we've ever had were something Carrie said or something I said or, you know, something we threw out or a parody idea that one of us had. And, you know, I was parodying Obamacare last year. And before that, it was to the tune of The Old Gray Mare. And Carrie's like, I don't even know that song. And I said, it doesn't matter, right? She's like, no, it matters. Why don't you do like a George Strait song? And then I called her back and said, we're going to do it to Amarillo by Morning, but it's Obamacare by Morning, and it's about waiting all night on this website to
that
finally
was hilarious.
Up. So, you know, it's collaborative, and you would be surprised how much of it is us.
Well, now, speaking of your friendship with Carrie Underwood, Brad, she's featured on Moonshine in the Trunk, which is your new album. You guys have done duets in the past, but how did you go about asking her to join you for the song High Life? Was she excited, or did you have to bribe her?
You always have to bribe her.
Okay, I'm interested with what?
Dog treats, and it works. Weirdest thing. You know, she loves dogs and animals, and you give her some dog treats, and they're not for a dog. She eats them, but it's weird that way. But when I wrote the song and had her name in the third verse, I said, I need to send something to you if you want to sing on it. Might make sense. And she heard it and howled, thought it was the funniest thing ever, and came and sang on it. She was in here 24 hours later, which is great because we were under a deadline at that point. But that's the perks of being friends with people as powerful as Carrie Underwood.
Yeah, those are some perks. That is really great. Well, Brad Paisley, you are a country superstar. Thank you so much for just taking the time out to join us here on The Art of Money. Your brand new album, Moonshine in the Trunk, is available in stores and on iTunes. And I, again, want to thank you for being with us today, and we hope to see you out on tour.
We'll see what happens, and I appreciate you guys wanting to talk. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Brad Paisley joining us today. So great to have him. And you know what's great is Art. What I hear is you're going to have some Brad Paisley CDs that you will be able to give out to your clients who come in and sit down with you, which is super exciting.
Absolutely. He's one of my favorites, Michelle. Why would I not have CDs to give out?
And if you want to sit down with Art, and not only do you get your portfolio looked at and reviewed, but you also get a CD of Brad Paisley's Moonshine in the Trunk, pick up your phone, give a call. That's 850-250-0900. We're going to be back with more Art of Money with Art McPherson right after this.